Yeah, oh yeah, he kicked the ball very well, yeah.
So, in that aspect, it was nice, but just trying to get through the uprights seems pretty difficult for him.
That field goal kicking thing, that's a scary deal, especially when you look at our schedule and you figure some close games are coming.
Yeah, yeah, and finally, the offer, there's any way in Texas, so not in the Knoxville area.
Oh yeah, every day on our app that you just listened to, you'll be able to hear the show every day from 11 to 1 Eastern time.
With you and with T-Rob.
I'm so sorry. You know what? I think that's in the works. I'll keep you posted, okay?
All right, good deal. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, man.
Whenever you get off here.
Thank you, I will. Cinco, your thoughts on the conversation with him.
Specifically, what do you mean?
Just anything. The field goal kicker, some of that
stuff.
Oh,
I'm not going to rip a kid for missing a 50-yard field goal. I mean, come on. I refuse to fault a kid for missing a 50-yard field goal.
That's a fair point.
I mean, the kid drilled about every ball, you know, out of the end zone.
Yeah, he kicked very well tonight.
He had a nice game. It happened in Florida. There seems to be a lull for this coaching staff with the second and third quarters. And the defense, I can see people saying we couldn't get a stop. And I'll go back again. 3 points, 170 total yards with under 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And then those guys, you could just see it, they were gassed. That's why all the missed tackles in the fourth quarter, those guys were just gassed. The offense was giving them no blow whatsoever.
Sean just said on Twitter, listening to us, he said, sorry, Tone, it's not about the fans. The players put in the real work. Heartache for them is far worse than ours. I don't know about that. I think there's a lot expected of fans, and I think there was a lot of build up to this thing. And Sean, I think you started out your comments by saying that everything was picture perfect tonight and ripe for the taking, and the atmosphere and the scene in there. Oklahoma blinked a little bit early in that game. They were dropping balls. They weren't comfortable. They were having trouble hearing each other. The crowd really did its part tonight.
It will not get better. It can't. I mean, it was just the loudest it's ever been for as long as they've been keeping decibel records. It was a hard sellout. You know, and the guy, respectfully, we didn't lose a game because they checkerboarded Neyland no more than we lost Alabama 30 years ago because we were wearing orange shoes. It has nothing to do with it. It was an absolute chamber of commerce environment for college football.
You're
and the only thing that didn't happen was closing that game out. And that's disturbing because, to me, what I'm seeing, and Russell's kind of said it, you know, earlier, is we've got a very good coach. We don't have a special coach. A special coach locks that game down. And this guy is, for all the good things he does on game day, he does not affect the game at all. Our players got us to the top of the hump, and he could not take us over the hump.
It's two.
I don't know what else you say.
It's after 2 a.m. I'm giving you. I'm into my, I guess, over my fourth hour now. This is it for me. I'm exhausted. Let me get my next call in, and this will be it for us tonight. It's been a lot of fun. Hello and welcome. You're our final call tonight. Thank you.
Hey Tony, it's Adam. How you?
Hey, thank you, Adam. Thank you for being there.
Hey, no problem. We all got the red eye. I told you yesterday, what did I not tell you if we lost this game? What would the fan base be doing?
Well, and I told you that they wouldn't be doing it unless they lost the game because of stupidity.
Right. And
by the way, they lost the game because of stupidity.
I said if we lost this game, at least 50% would be questioning this Jones if he's capable of being the man. Well, I think it's a good 75-80 at bare minimum. They're not questioning his big game coaching abilities.
Well, yes, you know, I think that's healthy. Yeah, I think that's healthy because I don't think coach worship, I don't think that's a healthy thing. I think we've come to an era where we've turned these guys into trillionaires and deities, and the truth is, they're just people. And there's a million guys that can do what he's doing. And I believe there are high school coaches, there are people, the guy has great qualities. His in-game coaching, though, just isn't among them. It's just not. Now, maybe he can get better.
We still love him. We're not saying he should be fired.
No.
No, I've never said that, and I never will say that. Good. If he keeps doing this, we got a major problem.
I'd say.
If we lose 2 weeks from Florida, we're in trouble.
Florida game?
If we lose Florida, are we in trouble?
I don't know. I think that if you lose to Florida, you got Georgia, you got Arkansas. October's really going to tell the tale, because I don't think Florida's going to figure into it. But so you could lose to Florida and have business as usual.
Florida. I mean, you got to. They're down, and we're more talented. I mean, you got to be.
Sean, Florida scares me more than Oklahoma for some reason. They scared me more than Oklahoma yesterday, and I still say that. Am I wrong?
You can't let Jim McElwain get some traction. You got to go down there. I mean, it's not do or die. It's not a must win game. You got to go down there and win the game. You have to.
Just a few things on the night. One play that hasn't been brought up. Well, first off, let me say this. Hats off to Javon Hur. He was in beast mode when he had opportunities. Javon Hur's made him play like an All-American.
22 tackles. Unfreaking-believable.
Yeah, for a loss. Todd Kelly Jr., 2 picks. I mean, he's a difference maker in that secondary backfield. And nobody's mentioned it, but Trevor Daniels, he's a culprit. He's a culprit. He's played lights out this year as punter. The one play that really hadn't been brought up is the holding penalty on Jumper. I'm sorry, I don't like calling players out, but Baron Kirkland Jr. needs to be your middle linebacker. That hold really hurt us. And I'm not saying it is wasn't, but you don't see defensive holding called often. So that tells me if it's called, that means it's pretty much there, because you don't see it called often.
Well, it was there. It was there on the play.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, you just can't do that in that type of a game and give him another opportunity.
Jerry Colquitt brought up a good point. He said a lot of times in the pros when they draft a guy and they decide they're going to play him, and Jerry's good because he's got this pro coaching perspective. He says he said Baltimore did this several years ago with somebody. I forget who he was talking about, but they had a middle linebacker and they decided this is our guy. And, he really didn't know their system or know what they were doing. And so they basically just said, we're going to play. We're going to have 3 plays, basically. I mean, we're going to keep this thing as vanilla as we possibly can so that he doesn't have to worry about being the quarterback of the defense. And Jerry said there's no reason Tennessee couldn't simplify things to that extent to allow, this Kirkland kid to get on the field. And, Sean, I wonder what you think about what Jerry said earlier.
Well, the fact of the matter is, on that play where he was holding, he should have been sacked any number of times, and that wouldn't have been called. But, the big problem I have with him is he had a cock shot on the quarterback for a sack, and he just wilted. I mean, he didn't even, I mean, literally, you will never get a better shot at a quarterback sack, and he just flaked off Baker Mayfield like he wasn't even there. Look, he's a UTC player, respectfully, MTSU, if you will, but look, when you have Jalen Reeves-Maybin has 21, 22 tackles at outside linebacker, when you have, I think I read this, where Barnett had 15 tackles, maybe, and your middle linebacker has 4 tackles?
Yeah.
And he had 1 tackle last week, 5 tackles in 2 games for a middle linebacker? That's crazy.
And your middle linebacker, he quarterbacks that defense 10-1. At least he's supposed to.
Yeah.
Tony, you remember last week when the caller called in talking about Dormady, saying, he in, he might be better than Dobbs.
No, he said he'll challenge him next year, yeah.
The caller might have a valid point. I mean, Dorney probably could play better. This game is not on Dobbs. It's a combination of a little of everything. But really, the play calling conservatism, really. But, you know, as bad as it is, you know, Georgia, Vandy played Georgia pretty tough. Florida still beat Arkansas. We saw what happened to Arkansas. I mean, this team can still win a lot of ball games and put this game behind them.
Absolutely, but they've got to manage.
We got close games.
See, here's the thing about Oklahoma. Oklahoma's not any good. They're going to be a third or fourth or fifth place team in their league.
This ain't the same Oklahoma team we've seen the last few years where they've been top five, top ten. No, they're middle of the road in Big 12 now.
I think Oklahoma's team last year is better than this one.
Much better. This Baker Mayfield guy, God bless him, he can't play. Now, he beat us tonight. I don't know how. God bless him. He can't play.
There's three games that stuck out in the last 10 years. I know we haven't been really good. There's three games. The 06 Cal game, 07 Georgia, and last year's Tax Flair Bowl. We got the lead early, and we kept fueling the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight we had an opportunity to do that, and we didn't.
Tonight's game was really strange. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that.
But we took a lot of steps back tonight. Last week everybody was praising the board. Of course, the board's called a good game, but hey, Bowling Green had no defense. Everybody was on Jancic because the defense was bad. This year, tonight was kind of vice versa on both ends.
And by the way, what about Mosley? What about Mosley coming back and having a nice night for himself? Good for him.
He had a great night.
Good for him.
He had three pass breakups that I counted.
Good for
him. Two on slant routes where you hardly ever see that play either not get called interference or a completion.
Defense just simply got gassed in the end, and that's really how they missed tackles. I mean, that's really it. And Oklahoma picked up some momentum and some steam. And Mayfield wasn't great, but he made plays in the end.
Hey, I hope you have a great.
Boils down to.
Hey, I hope you have a great night, man. Thanks for being here.
It's 2 a.m. and I got church at 10 o'clock. Guys, thank you for calling.
Truer words have never been spoken. Cinco, give me a final thought here on the way out. You're such a good dude, Cinco. I love you.
Well, thanks for having me, Tony. I tell you what, I'm not mad. I'm sad, if you will, because I've watched the Florida game with Tyler Bray. I've watched last year's Florida game, and then the game tonight. And I'm telling you, the fans can't give any more. I mean, it's there, and the fans don't win the game. I get that, but I don't know that. We have every resource. We have everything you could possibly want. And I don't see, up to this point, I don't see Butch Jones being the special guy. And so what lead do you have to close out a game against a quality opponent? Well, it's not 17, not 14, you know, what it was 10 last year. I'm not sure. And then the final thing is Josh Dobbs has got to stop this roller coaster, you know, career he has. You know, last year he has a good, great game against Kentucky, mediocre game against, Vandy, great game against Iowa, here against, he didn't even show up tonight. Just decision making was poor. And, so we need him. We need him. So it's not the end of the world. It doesn't affect this conference game. Let's go down to Gainesville and get the Gators. And, hey, you know, 11-1 season's not that bad.
Cinco, love you, man.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
11-1 season. I like Cinco. I want to start partying with him at his place. I want to thank Russell Smith for coming by tonight. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank everybody who had so many kind words and well wishes today. I want to thank, that Oklahoma fan base was a lot of fun. That was a great day. Great week. College football special. Let's not lose sight of that. people on my Twitter timeline tonight said, you know, if we lose to Florida, I'm done with the year. Nah, come on. It's a special thing. And we're here and we're going to enjoy it. And we get to do that together. And all I ask of you is that you'll just spread the word on what we're doing here. And we'll continue to grow this thing. It's 2:15 in the morning. I've given my all. I feel like I've done my part, my piece. And for all those behind the scenes, thank you, Tony Robinson. Thank you, Jerry Colquitt. Thank you, Cinco. Thank you, Bino. Thank you, Vol Colonel. Thank you, X. We're going to get there one of these days. Great Dwight Yoakam. He's live in San Francisco, 1986. Listen to Pete Anderson smoking hot on this show. We love you. God bless. By the way, thank you to all my sponsors, Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, and everybody else involved with the program. Till we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, a little crying in your beer music tonight from Dwight, followed by some Randy Travis, some John Anderson, some Country Gentlemen, some George Strait, some Asleep at the Wheel, all live. We love you. God bless.
Here's one we wrote as a tribute to all the California honky-tonk players back in the 50s and 60s down around Bakersfield. We're going to show them that California can still do honky-tonk music. still do country music. This is the title track of our LP. It's coming out in February. Old Flat and Scruggs tune. You don't know who Flat and Scruggs are, do you? We'll see you here, Derek.
Down the road.
this old sad leaving song I wrote. For flat 209, here I fall, the wheel starts to climb. The Nancy proved a poor choice. Shall the dream been destroyed? So much pride is true. Brought it in to me and you. If I could turn around, set my feet back. This plane ride out for me was 1,000 miles of misery. Here's old Bill Monroe song. a transplant in Kentucky, and a lot of those people had to put up with a lot of jokes about where they were from when they moved out of there. And I wrote this one about one of those jokes, and I wrote it for my mother and her sisters. They learned to read and write Route 23 to the job and lay waiting at the city factory. They learned to read and write goes to the north to electric company, a coal miner can't afford. They thought to read and write Route 23. An old Texas shuffle. You want us to do it? Huh? Hello? Half LA's up here, aren't they? What? An old Texas shuffle by an old Texas boy. Thank you. We had an EP out this last year. It was, yeah, all three copies that were out. And we had a few songs that were on that, and they're going to come back out on that. And this is one of them here. There's another drinking song from that EP. Y'all like drinking song? Or do y'all not give a damn? We're gonna do it anyway then.
Memory comes back up.
Here's another drinking song. My old fella named Hank, long time ago. It's New Year's Eve, what the hell play? It's just hillbilly stuff. Don't let them bullshit you. Here's another off our EP. I wrote this for my granddaddy. He ain't here no more, but Happy New Year to Luther Tibb. When the whistle blows each morning, and I walk down in that cold dark mine, I say a prayer for my dear Savior, please let me see the sunshine one more time. When the wind will be over, when will I lay the burdens down, and when I die, dear Lord, I still breathe. feel no signs of on this earth, not much I own. I have the love, my sweet children, old brown you, a shovel and a hoe. When the wind will be over, thank you. In honor of New Year's Eve, we're going to do a real melancholy George Jones tune. I think that's appropriate for New Year's Eve. I think George would drink to that, or... Step right up, come on in. If you'd like to take a grand tour of the lonely house, once home, sweet home. I have nothing here to sell you. Here's some things that I will tell you. Awesome things I know to show you to the bomb. Over there, well, that's the chair. Well, she'd bring the paper to me, sit down on my knees, whisper how I love you. Now she's gone forever, and this old house will never be the same without the love that we once knew. Well, we laid in love together, and Lord knows we had a good thing going here. See a picture on the table. Don't it look like she'd be able just to touch me and say good morning, dear? There her ring and all the things, and her clothes are in the closet like she left them when she tore my world apart. As you leave, you'll see the nursery. Well, she left me without mercy, taking nothing but a baby. Back in the late 60s, country music had all but lost its spirit and stopped dead. And I want to dedicate this song to a fellow that kept my faith in it alive, a fellow from the Bay Area, actually, John Fogerty. This goes out to John Fogerty.